If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
All right, so today on today's episode, the boys and I, we somehow found our way into fasting and
quite the discussion.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think is important, because I know a lot of people, they hear information like that, then right away they just start incorporating it or want to try and do it, or oh, I heard it on Mind Pump, so I hear it's healthy, it's good. We created a guide for that, and it's got six different ways of fasting. It includes how Sal, myself, and Justin, how we utilize fasting ourselves personally. But even before that, like, I don't like to give people advice on fasting until they really have a good foundation with nutrition, because yes. I think that's so important, is to learn the foundation of that, how you should be eating, from what food groups, figuring out what your body needs first, nutrient-wise. Then you incorporate an advanced technique like that and see the huge benefits from it. So, you know, I wanted to put something together.
Before you even say that, I mean, it's important to know, like, fasting is an effective technique, but it will not fix poor eating. It will not fix a poor relationship with food. It will not fix eating, you know, things that are not good for you. And so we wanted to, you know, we're doing this just because we want to make sure that if people are going to incorporate fasting, that they also have information on how to eat properly as well. And so, you know, that's what Adam was leading into.
Not just fitness. We're trying to also make sure we're always incorporating a healthy approach to the way that you're changing and leaning out your body and looking at performance for your body.
Right. So we have a nutrition survival guide, which is a general guide on proper eating. And then we have our fasting guide, which, like Adam was saying, breaks down how to fast properly, because there is a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. And here's what we've done. Normally, if you purchase those separately, it's $74. We're going to put them together in what we're calling the Nutrition Fasting Bundle, and we're knocking the price down for both of them over 20% off. So it's only $57. $57, you get both the Nutrition Survival Guide and the Fasting Guide. So it's going to teach you proper eating, but it's also going to teach you how to fast properly. And you can get them both together at mindpumpmedia.com. Again, it's called the Nutrition Fasting Bundle. mindpumpmedia.com.
Hope you guys enjoy the episode.
Here's, what happened to your mic,
what are you
dude?
Doing?
I feel like when I'm not here, Sal fucks with it.
It's
dude.
Not me, Dick. It's Justin recorded something earlier.
On this side. I didn't fuck with your mic.
My shit's
bro.
All crooked.
Yeah. I don't want.
I feel like I get a crooked dick.
Do you guys have smelly...
Wait a minute. You have a crooked dick?
Things.
Or you feel like you have a crooked dick?
I don't. You know what? You know how a lot of people... You have a hooked dick?
No, I don't have a hooked dick, but I have a curve.
Mine hangs to the
what
left.
What the fuck is the difference
really
a hooked
hard.
Dick and a curve?
No,
dick?
A hook goes to the right or left. The curve goes up and hits the G-spot.
Oh, I like how you pointed that out. It's curved.
It's beneficial.
It's curved right.
It's an evolutionary advantage.
I would see that would be pretty good actually. Mine's just pretty straight.
It's more from how often you tug it in one direction.
No, well, that's the way
it kind of forms into that side.
But there's a difference there. That's
how you think it happens. You think
that's what happens.
Of course it does.
It's frequency, bro.
Does yours go to the right?
No, mine's straight.
No. I'm not talking about the actual shaft. I'm talking about
okay.
The base will direct it a little bit in one direction or the other.
That's what I try. Mine's pretty fucking
what do you
straight.
Mean?
See, yeah, but I've also been somebody who, I
so
guess...
So you got your pants
what,
on.
What, you double pump it?
So you got your pants on right now. Let's say you pop a boner like you usually do when you're talking to me.
Right.
Where does it go? To the right or to the left on your pants?
Right to the belt loop.
It goes to the right. It doesn't go straight up because that'd be weird.
It would be weird.
It goes to my belly
it
button.
It could do that.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You get a boner, you let it go straight up like that?
Right
poke out your pants?
Right to my belly
Let's
button.
Be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
You just let it poke out?
Yeah. I don't get weird boners throughout the day anymore.
Dude.
No. At all?
No.
You never get a boner throughout the day?
No. I don't, maybe when I'm home,
that's
but I'm only
sad.
Playing with myself at that point. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not something that happens. Like,
am I weird? Am I the only one that gets boners for no reason?
You're the only one that's
you do,
17. I don't get midday boners. Like
I'll
I
get
used
them
to,
sometimes.
But see, Justin's with me.
Kids don't mess with testosterone when you're younger.
Yeah.
That's the story. That's the moral of this story.
You broke your dick?
Yeah, dude. It doesn't work the same way it did when I was 17. When I was 17, the fucking wind blew, bro. I'd just think about something and I'd be, oh, God. Embarrassed, have to tuck it in your underwear. That doesn't
really?
Happen. No, it doesn't happen anymore.
So if I got a bunch of money and just threw it on your face, you wouldn't.
Oh.
Well, if there was anything that would do it, it would probably be that.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I just think you just yeah. You just have that, weird fetish.
Either that, or we're flooded and inundated with so much
stimulus.
Stimulus and nudity. And
yeah, but you don't even look at porn.
I don't. Yeah. You're right. I don't. Hey,
well, that's broken. Not even what does it for me. It's like these random things.
Justin,
like walking down the street, it's like. Bow.
See, Justin, you got a lot of testosterone coming through.
Yeah, but Justin,
you can tell he's got a lot of testosterone.
I know. Well,
look at his face right now.
Part of that too, I feel like.
What do you mean?
Courtney does the takeaway on him. You know what I'm saying? Like, so of course he's looking for it whenever he can. You know.
Did you know
my girl wears me down, dude? I'm just like, time out. Time out.
Yeah.
She's smart.
I wish I could deny that.
She breaks it on purpose, so you can't use it at the time.
There's been plenty of times where I look at her and I'm like, no, I can't. I'm fucking sore, man. Leave me alone.
I'm so sore.
Give me a day off, please.
I'm chafing.
Hey, speaking of, why are your quads all chafed up? What's going on?
Oh, my God. You noticed that, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Look at that.
What is that? You sunburned?
Yeah, dude. I got sunburned real bad when I was at the lake.
You need to stop doing that. Dude, every time you go in the sun,
bro,
you burn the shit out of yourself.
Listen to me. The rest of my body was fine. I was fine. Like, I got the same amount of sun. Like, it's just that, like, my knees haven't seen the sun in probably, like, a year.
He looks like a snake over there.
You know what I mean? I do, bro. It's straight up like iguana status.
How high does it go there?
Yeah, you could probably peel it off and eat it like Frosted Flakes.
Oh, gross. Don't say that. How high up does it go?
Just this high, dude. Just
whoa, see? Hold on. Let me get my sunglasses.
The line. Oh, look at that line.
Yeah, it's an awesome line. Maybe great. I'll take a picture for everybody.
You're pretty white.
I know that.
Yeah.
I don't deny that.
It's clear.
I wonder
transparent.
I think I could get darker than anybody in this room.
Of course you could.
You don't think I could get darker than you?
Right now, I think I'm the palest, whitest in my life. Just because we're in the
building. I don't think you could get darker than me.
Oh, I'll show you some pictures when I was a kid. They thought I was black.
Bro.
They were almost certain I was a black kid.
Bro, when in the summer, if I go to Italy or whatever, I come back and I literally look Ethiopian.
Well, yeah.
Not skinny, but dark like that.
Yeah.
I don't know why I picked that.
Not me at all. Yeah. I don't have that.
But I get really, 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 really dark.
Yeah.
But you have Mexican in you.
Yeah.
That's your dark side, right?
Yeah. I have some Italian in me too, bro. A little bit. It's a sprinkle, but it's between the two of them.
Want some more?
No, I don't.
You want some more?
More than enough.
Yeah, no.
Closest I had was like more freckles. You know, I had so many freckles, I almost looked tan.
Get freckles.
Amazing.
You and my best friend have the exact same like skin. He's like, I only have two colors: red and white. Red or white. That's all.
America.
I'm that candy cane girl.
I'm glad you drink a lot of coffee then, Justin, because caffeine and coffee itself has been shown to reduce the risk of skin cancer.
Hell yeah. See?
Skin cancer.
I knew what I was doing.
And liver cancer. People who drink a lot of coffee.
Now that Chimera's got us all set up and everything like that, I see Justin sucking it down like crazy.
I am slurping it.
Dude, I had some, so check this out. I had some last night, a little later than I normally do.
Nighttime coffee?
It wasn't late. It was like 6 o'clock.
You're a maniac.
Anything after 5 with caffeine's not a good idea.
Yeah.
And,
that's
the
cutoff for me.
Well, I slept okay. I went to bed at 11. I slept okay, but I took it because I've been incorporating 24-hour fasts now twice a week. I just started incorporating those. Every single time, every time I do that, I forget how awesome it is. Like, I forget the awesome effects. Mm-hmm. And the effects that I get from it don't really kick in until about... So for me, a 24-hour fast is I don't eat till about 8 or 9 o'clock at night, because that's usually when I eat the night before, right? So it's 24 hours. Right around 3 or 4 o'clock is when I start to notice the effects. You know what I mean? I start to get like the anti-inflammatory effects. So I was a little stiff.
Mm-hmm.
That started going away. I noticed I get really clear with my thinking.
Clarity. Yeah.
It's weird. And I always
I get that same response.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Do you notice your vision gets more sharp?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Yeah.
So that doesn't sound crazy.
Vision sharp. Yeah. No, it just, I don't know. It's weird. Everything sort of just like aligns and it just helps you like focus.
It's really weird. I went outside and I was just looking at the trees and I'm like, man, they look really defined right now. Almost like when, you know, that filter on Instagram that you can do is sharpen. And you can make a picture. That's almost what it seems like when I look outside. It's very strange.
Is today one of your fasted days?
No, it's why?
Because this is what I want to do the next time. When's your next one?
Well, I'm fasted now. I'm not going to eat till two or three today. But my 24-hour fasts are on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
I want to take you over, and while you're in your fast, when you feel that around that 3 o'clock range, let's go over and do the cryo. I want to take you over and do the cryo because I want you to feel what that feels like and the endorphin rush that you get from that and how amazing.
Sal just might jizz his pants.
With the combination of the Chimera and a fasted.
Yeah. What will that
Let's do that
me?
Together.
What will that do? You mean in the same one?
You might see into the future.
Like, I'll fast with you. I want to do that. Just I did cryo again yesterday.
He wants to get you naked again. Mm. See how he does this? Mm-hmm.
Well, no, this is where we talk Every about this. Time. We always talk about how we are such better trainers for other people than ourselves.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, I'm such a huge advocate of cryotherapy, yet I wait until I'm like in fucking chronic pain before I go there. And like, I just can't move. And
I still haven't done it. And I've been wanting to, dude.
You were made for it, Justin. You were made for cold weather.
We'll go right after this. It's right around the corner from us, dude.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, I'll take you right afterwards. Well, I'm down. I need to go anyway. So
Here's the thing I always notice these little things and I tend to forget them. But one of the things I notice too when I do a fast that's longer than like 18, 19 hours. Is reduction in inflammation. I just commented on that earlier, but it's pretty crazy. Like, I was stiff and sore in my elbows because the day before I had done some really, really heavy pulling. And, you know, when I rotate, when I supinate and pronate my hand or I flex my elbow, I can feel in the joint it's a little sore. And it feels like the brachialis, but it's probably what's that muscle you pulled?
The pronator teres.
Pronator teres, okay. Yeah. By about 5 o'clock, I was kind of stretching and moving, and I was like, holy shit, I don't feel the pain anymore. Mm. And I know that ketones are anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. So I bought some keto strips, and I flirt with ketosis now. I was in it pretty heavily for a little while, but now I let myself go in and out to promote metabolic flexibility. But when I'm fasting for 24 hours, I'm pretty sure I get into ketosis pretty heavy. And sure enough, I peed on the stick, and you know, I was moderate. Like moderate ketones or whatever that level says, mm-hmm. and the inflammation was gone. So I'm wondering if that's what caused it, or if it's some of the other effects of the fasting that were causing that.
You're still using those strips that don't work?
I had them saved. Yeah. I had them saved, and I just pulled one out and peed on it. Yeah,
they definitely changed because I noticed I've seen myself all over the spectrum on that thing. Mm-hmm. But after I read all up on it, and I found out that it just doesn't.
It just means you have excess ketones coming out of urine.
Yeah.
Because I guess you can use them all up, and then the ketone strips won't show.
It's not showing what's in your blood. The blood ketones, which is what really matters mm-hmm. when you're talking about going into ketosis. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's why I kind of I guess I'll throw these away.
I mean, it's almost like I forget the benefits of fasting because I don't necessarily stop doing it. I never really eat breakfast, mm-hmm. but I forget the benefits of a lengthy fast.
Like a longer one, yeah.
Yeah, and then when I do it again, every single time I do it, I always blow my mind. Like, wow, mm-hmm. I feel so fucking good.
Well, everybody everyone's on the kick on the forum right now, right? We've had a lot of people on the forum pushing 24 and 48-hour fasts.
Like, I've never done a 48-hour one. You have? Mm-hmm. The longest I've ever done is 24. So what's that like? Because I noticed with the 24 one, you would think that my appetite would be high, but by the end of the night, I could not eat if I wanted to.
Well, it depends, because when I first did it, it was tough. Like, the first day was more tough than the second day, I think. It's because, like, my body was... it was more shocking to me, but now, like, that I've experimented with it more, I feel like it really isn't that challenging. It's just more of like, okay, this is what I'm doing. So initially, like, you just start to kind of lengthen it out. As long as you're hydrating, I don't do it without like hydrating but you just sort of get into that mode. It's a different mode. You know, it's a different operating system.
Now, do you notice a change from like the Bennett, like how you feel from 24 to 48, or is it just like an extension of the 24?
It's an extension. It starts to get a little bit. Bit rough. Yeah, the end of it,
I would think you would really start to feel yourself leaning out, because at that point you were full on metabolizing fat.
Oh, insulin is gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Growth hormones up. You're burning fat.
Yeah.
It's like the ghrelin and all that like response that like makes you like real hungry and like want. Like, I feel like that like dampens a lot. You know, like
once
I don't
you make
even
it through
that
first bad one, I
you're
feel
just
like right.
Psh,
once you make
it's gone.
Once you break through that first like stomach
like growling.
I don't know.
That.
I'm going to be able to do this. Once you kind of break through that, then I feel like it totally gets suppressed and it's a lot easier. But that first, I feel like that first initial feeling that you get is always.
I actually get an energy spike. Yep. Now that I think of it, yeah. Especially the second day, I get a big energy spike.
That's what shocks me the most about it each time is because, like I said, I don't eat tons of meals throughout the day anyway. I usually, my first meal is usually, 1 or 2 o'clock anyway. But when I do the lengthy one, I forget the energy effects. I thought I felt good anyway. And then doing that, all of a sudden I have like much more energy. The challenge with it is getting enough calories, which is why I'm only doing it twice a week. Now, I just so happen to be kind of in a getting lean mode right now anyway, and I'm getting pretty close to the leanest that I usually allow myself to get. So that's the only challenge. The only challenge I can find is with if you're a bigger dude with more muscle, you do a 24-hour fast, it's hard to eat more than a couple thousand calories. You know what I mean? Like, I had a decent-sized meal last night. It was 9 o'clock at night, and I'm pretty sure my calories were under... It was probably 1,500 calories, 16 at the most. So what I do on, you know, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays is I tend to, you know, try to to compensate a little bit so that I have my higher calorie days. But that would be the challenge I could see. But the energy is just... It always kind of blows me away. It's this really focused kind of...
Well, it takes me... Like, so when I go into, like, a workout and I'm fasted, I don't feel like going into the workout like I have this huge spike. It's like once I need to get, like, a set or two underneath me and almost break that first sweat. And then I feel this, oh, shit, I'm surprised on how I feel. Like, a part of me is not really excited to go into the gym when I'm fasted. I'm kind of like, I'm tired. I'm kind of down a little bit right now. Then once I start working out... I noticed that's the extreme I noticed right there. Heading into it, I don't feel any sort of major energy spike. But once I start lifting the weights, I'm floored by how I was feeling an hour before that and how I'm now feeling. And then going forward after that.
The other things I noticed is a couple of things. One is just how sensitive I become to supplements. So if I take if I take caffeine if I drink coffee while I'm fasted.
Or a weed ball.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Gotta be careful with those things.
Weed ball. Thank you, Kiva.
Watch out.
I hope they sponsor us one day.
You know
how many of their products we buy. But it hits me harder and faster. And then the other thing I notice is when I do finally eat, I get this crazy vasodilation effect. Like, I'll eat and then my veins and my arms will just start coming out. And I'm like, whoa, what the fuck just happened? It's really apparent.
This is why, and we can, you guys can disclaimer after I say this because I know it's not a healthy thing to teach people to do. But heading into Vegas or like a weekend where you know you're going to party and you're going to drink and you're going to do things like that, I love to lead into it with a huge fast. I fast all the way up until I know I'm going to be cracking my first drink.
So you can save some money.
Well, yeah. And I mean, let's be real.
And it's less alcohol.
Yes.
Better.
That's what I mean.
You're going to Vegas. You're going somewhere like that where you're going to party. You're going to drink. You know, you're going to a boat party, whatever, right? You know, you're going to be doing some shit. So why not let that be the first thing that hits you? You're going to have a buzz after the first drink.
Well, that's
first drink.
Here's a disclaimer. If you do that, your tolerance is way down, like you said. So don't be like, ooh, I'm fast. I'm going to go drink a couple drinks because you'll get sick real fast.
Yeah, the idea is you do way less. That's what's awesome. And you get the same benefit, right? If you like that, I want to get drunk and I want to get tipsy, or even if I just want to get a buzz, well, guess what? If it normally takes you 2 to 4 beers or 4 drinks to get a nice buzz on or whatever, try one, you know?
One beer fasted for me, and I got a nice little buzz.
Oh, yeah.
Just one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I had a little bit of a thought. You know, I was thinking about this whole process because, like I said, I hadn't done a 24-hour fast in a little while, and now I'm doing them again. And it's interesting. I've read some articles about how fasting for some people might not be a good idea. And, of course, there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And then I was reading an article on how when they were testing animals, I forgot which animal, I think it was mice, and they found that when they would fast the mice...
I feel like it's always mice. Is it ever anything else?
It was mice, and then I...
One time I want to hear a study. Like, I want to hear a study.
I'm almost...
on a reindeer.
I'm almost...
a study on a reindeer, and...
I'm almost positive they did it on... That they tested this on humans, too. But nonetheless, they find that when you're in a fasted state, your body... it wants to kill old cells in your body. So the cells that have been around for a little while, in particular immune cells that have been around for a little while, that are a little older, that have a higher chance of mutating, that aren't functioning quite as well, they tend to die off. So fasting kills the old cells.
It shuttles everything out.
And then it promotes it encourages the growth of new cells. And so they found in mice that a 3-day fast, I think, completely replaced, they estimated completely replaced their immune system.
Wow.
So this is cool for a few different reasons. One, for people with autoimmune disorders, mark my words, you are going to see fasting become a protocol for people with autoimmune disorders, because autoimmune disorders are by nature their immune system or your immune system attacking itself. Now, I know for me, I suffer from some mild autoimmune issues, and fasting is just, it's amazing for that. And I know other people with things like rheumatoid arthritis who fast and find that their inflammation and pain goes down dramatically, because it encourages the death of these kind of old and tired cells.
Yeah.
Of course, doing it too often can be kind of bad for the body. And so I started to think about comparing fasting to exercise. Mm. So what I mean by that is fasting is, in essence, a stress on the body. It mm-hmm. is, right?
Yeah.
It's a mild stress on the body, and it causes your body to improve, sharpen, and adapt in a way that's beneficial. Can you overdo fasting like you can overdo exercise?
Sure, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. Can there be individual variances in terms of who can handle mm-hmm. longer and more strict and harder fast?
100%.
Yes, absolutely. So when I put it in that context, it makes perfect sense, right? When you start to think about it that way, because if I have a woman who's obese, who's got severe metabolic damage from hardcore dieting and this and that, hitting her with a hard, you know, you're going to fast for 18 hours a day every single day, it's probably going to be too much and it probably won't benefit her. But doing a small fast every once in a while will mm-hmm. definitely probably have a benefit. And then you have someone like myself who can fast more regularly.
This is like a conversation I just had with my father, actually, because one of the most challenging things ever is for me to address any sort of nutritional advice with him, because it's just like this, you're battling decades and decades of just poor choices and propaganda and scarcity and, like looking for like cheaper food versus like quality food. Like there's all kinds of stuff. So the only thing that I've found, you know, success with so far, are just basically to really, you know, narrow it down to the most essential thing that, you know, could be a simple thing for him to follow is to start doing little bits of meal skipping. Mm-hmm. And so like, that could be breakfast, you know, that could be lunch. It could be, you know, he would take a snack like in the middle of the day or whatever and like eat all these nuts or, you know, some ice cream or whatever the crap is that he puts in his face. I'm like, look, you know, stop doing that for this day. Like you got to sort of designate like one of these meals a day, and then we'll gradually do like 2 days a week. We'll do that, you know, and then three. And it's like this ramp up process of like, I'm just sort of like figuring this out where I don't need to shuttle in food constantly. And I'm starting to train my brain to kind of get into that mode.
Now, has he been doing it?
Yeah. And he lost like 10 pounds.
Really?
Yeah. Within the first, you know, month and a half.
You know, it wasn't that long ago. It wasn't that long ago at all. Maybe 10 years ago, where if I said on a podcast, skip a meal, I'd be 10 years ago,
I think like 3 to 5.
I'd be crucified.
Just less than 5 years ago, I feel like I wouldn't say that because I was so afraid that you aren't getting enough nutrients that, oh, I'm going to lose muscle and just fall off my body. Like it took me such a long time to get beyond that. So then when I would recommend to clients too, I was like, well, make sure we get this in there and make sure we get enough of this and make sure we get, when it's like, dude, that's not the problem with America. We get enough of everything. Dude.
We're overfed.
Yeah, we overeat everything. Yeah. So it's very, very rare. And I say that in an overgeneralization because, of course, there's exceptions to the rule.
Of course
there is. But, you know, we talk about the thousands of clients each of us have trained. I mean, 99% of those people are on the side of overconsumption, and including meal skipping or some sort of a fasting into their routine, I think is phenomenal.
Well,
but I think there's an important point to make about the strategy to that, and not simply just going in and like, oh, I heard a mind pump, I should skip meals.
No. There's a right way to do it.
There's
just like
protocol.
Anything. Number one, it doesn't excuse eating shitty food. So it doesn't mean I can skip meals and then eat, you know.
Which that's how it got popular. You know
I know.
That.
I know. Yeah. Because, well, of course, just like if it fits your macros or anything else, like people took it and said, oh, cool, I can skip meals and then eat a large pizza. And they're you know, now I'm cool. Nothing will, first of all, you can't get around the fact that you have to be in a calorie deficit if you want to lose weight, or a calorie surplus if you want to gain weight. Number two, you can't, there's nothing will excuse bad food. So I don't care how well you fast or whatever, stuff that's not good for you is just not good for you. Okay. So those are the big things you want to focus on first. Then you can utilize, you know, concepts like fasting, for their own health benefits. I'm using fasting not because I'm necessarily trying to get leaner. I'm using it because of the health
benefits.
Yes, because even when I'm gaining weight, I'll try to incorporate some kind of a fast because
yes, I do.
I feel better. Yeah. I got more energy. You're getting rid of those old cells and getting to, you know, better cells. They're looking at making fasting a potential adjuvant therapy to chemotherapy.
Yeah.
They're finding that when people do proper fasting while on chemo, they need less chemo for the same effect.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. That's amazing shit right there.
Yeah, off of something, you don't have to take something. You don't have to take a pill to get that effect.
What I'm saying.
You just got to restrain from food. Like, that's crazy.
When and when you do prolonged fast, if you eat a regular balanced diet, many people will enter into ketosis. So even if you don't eat a ketogenic diet and you don't want to eat a ketogenic diet, doing a 16, 24-hour fast, you're likely to go into ketosis, and you get some benefits of that because, as we learned, you know, when we did our interview with Dom DiAgostino, you know, and he talked about cancer cells. They're not hybrid engines like the rest of the cells of the body. You know, most of the cells in the body are hybrids. They can work off of glucose and off of ketones. Cancer cells lose their ability to operate off of ketones. They can only use glucose. So
it's extremely fascinating, I feel like.
Yeah. Right. So when you go let yourself go into ketosis, it's anti-cancer.
Yeah.
And so that's probably one of the reasons why fasting is beneficial for, you know, preventing things like cancer. And if you look at modern societies and the things that kill us today, look at them. It's autoimmune diseases. It's cancers. It's these types of chronic illness and treatments that, you know, or problems, excuse me, that we don't have necessarily cures or treatments for. And it kind of, I hate to say this because this is really, really general, but it all kind of points to this, the problem with our diet, you know, the fact that we eat too much and too often, and it's too much, you know, sugar and processed foods. And it's almost like the human body's always going to have, you know, these issues with potential cells that can mutate and turn into cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're constantly feeding that you're going to promote that to happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, excess protein consumption can even do it. And I'm talking really, really high levels of protein I just did a post on Instagram about how protein is not the magic macronutrient that the supplement industry.
Oh, talk about that. I wanted to bring that up. I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to bring up the guy who, debated you to death and end up just proving the point.
What an ass clown. I was on there and I made a post that protein
like that.
Is not a magic macronutrient. The reason why I said that was because, especially in the fitness industry, adding protein to anything automatically makes it healthy, or what they advertise. Or you can't eat too much protein. Or if you're going to cut anything, cut everything except for protein, because protein can do no wrong. Which is not true. You eat too much protein, you gain body fat off of it, like you would off of, you know, carbs and fats. Eat a lot of protein, and you're probably doing some detrimental things to your health. And I listed on there that a high protein diet is perfectly safe. It's beneficial for athletic performance or for muscle gain. But a high protein diet, according to the massive consensus of studies, is about 0.6 to 0.8 grams of protein per pound of body weight, which is, you know, probably still double the RDA, right? It's still or the RDI. It's about double.
But it looks tiny to your bodybuilder, or, you know, somebody that's doing
bodybuilders,
like 6 to 8 meals.
Exactly. Bodybuilders and protein and supplement companies will promote 1.5 to 2 grams per pound of body weight. So this guy gets on my Instagram and telling me, you know, high protein diets are perfectly safe and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, everything you're saying is wrong. I'm like, no, it's not. It's totally true. I'm, you know, show me some evidence. Show me some science. It's like, well, I'm a biochemist and I know what I'm talking about. Like, well, show me the evidence. So he posts this long study, and he failed to convert kilograms to pounds.
Yeah, 2.2 is a big fucking difference.
Yeah. So in the study, the long term study was
Damn,
1.5.
Oh, you didn't read
this? No, yeah, didn't read this. That's awesome.
Oh, dude, you should. I saw he posted, and I always look at your guys' pages and the traffic and what's going on with it. And I see Sal has this post that he just did, the protein one. It's got over 100 comments, and I'm like, damn, there must have been a debate.
Struck a nerve there.
Oh, right away, I knew there was a debate in there. So I pulled it up and I started reading the whole thread, and I read all this conversation this guy's having. And he starts listing all these studies, like copy paste, and I'm reading, I'm going like, this idiot is like all he's, and then I
he
see,
just proved
didn't read any of them.
He literally proved my point.
Yeah, and then I see Sal write exactly what I was thinking. I was like, oh, he just proved him. He just proved him his point.
I'm like, yeah. I was like, dude. Yeah. I was like, you forgot. To, I said, this said the studies that you're posting show 1.4 to 2 grams per kilogram of body weight is perfectly safe. I'm like, if you convert that to pounds, it's exactly what I said. Like, thank you for doing that. And then he went off on some other shit.
Well, it's
and
so
of course,
great.
Of course, he
oh,
owns.
So great.
Of course, he owns a supplement company. Of course,
what?
He's going to go on there and try and debate.
Yeah. No.
It's so infuriating.
Agenda?
Yeah.
No.
And, well, I feel like people, too, they just like to, especially your page, because you do post so much science. I love it because it attracts these other smart, intelligent people. Because the guy wasn't dumb. You know, the guy was an intelligent person.
Like, no, I think he just fucked up.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't even think that. I think that he was an intelligent person with some good information, has read studies, knows a little bit about it. He found a place where he thought he could catch you up. Mm-hmm. And just because he wanted
he
to...
He thought he had you.
Yeah, he thought he could slam Sal over something he said. But, I mean, one thing that I've always loved how Sal presents his information is he's always very careful not to be like, this is the way it is. That's it. And that, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not...
Right,
like,
right.
It's like... The upwards limit of, you know, benefits to protein
gives you a range
exactly
instead of
is
like
point
a
six to point
amount.
Eight.
Yeah,
and there's nothing that we've had out there that showed that beyond that is good for us. And some of the really extreme numbers have shown to have some detriments, which all that is true.
Right,
all
right,
of that
right,
is
right,
proven.
Right.
All of that is said. You cannot fucking argue that. And because Sal's smart and does a post that like kind of attracts people, like, well, you know, the whatever you said about protein, you know, it's not the special pro, not whatever, yeah. not the special
the
macronutrient.
Clickbait title.
Yeah, right. Love the clickbait yeah. title, and then gets everybody looking at it and stuff. There's always some jackass that wants to challenge. And I when he was doing that, I'm like, bro, he's not debating. Like, if you have one-to-one, like, he's not saying that that's bad. He's not saying that.
No, I'm saying the extreme amounts are probably bad long term.
Yes, you know, and
if you're a 150 pound female and you're eating consistently 300 grams of protein every single day, that's 2 grams per pound of body weight, which is what sudden supplement companies will promote and bodybuilders will promote. Now let's just stop for a second. Like, you want to debate me on this, but let's just think about this for one fucking second. How in the hell is a 150-pound female going to get 300 grams of protein from food?
From food,
a day?
Yeah, real food.
That's just
impossible.
8 to 10 chicken breasts a day.
8 to 10 chicken. Think of that. Is her digestion going to be okay? Yeah. Is she going to feel good? What about her
she
lifestyle?
She needs a chicken farm.
She's going to be eating
she
all
day.
She
needs a chicken farm.
And here's the other point I'd like to make. Fine. Let's say eating 2 grams of protein per pound of body weight gave you a... At the most, I could never imagine it giving you more than a 3% increase in performance. Let's say you got 3% increase in performance. Is it fucking worth it? Is it worth all the side effects, the gastro effects, mm-hmm. the potential long-term effects? And let's be real. Although a relatively high protein diet has been proven to be fine for the kidneys, a super high protein diet has not been proven to be good for the kidneys. The kidneys have to filter protein.
Yeah.
There is going to be a point where you're going to be eating too much.
Well, and this is only anecdotal right here, but the only people I've ever seen any sort of benefit of it being at 1 gram at all or above that is anabolic.
Of course. Yeah. And their body's just, it's just utilizing protein at a higher rate because they've got, you know, 10 times the anabolic hormones running through the
system. So that anybody else, I mean, if you're all natural, then you have no business in that range. And even if you are on steroids, I have not seen any extra benefit to more than like a 1-to-1 ratio.
No, and here's the other thing we need to consider. The more advanced you are with your workouts, the less protein you need, not the more. People think, oh, I've been working out for years and I build all this muscle, therefore I need to pound myself with more protein. No.
No, your body's more efficient now.
Yes, man. Studies actually show that a beginner working out and getting more muscle damage would require more protein.
Mm-hmm.
Eating carbohydrates or being in ketosis, protein sparing. So if I eat carbohydrates with a meal or you know, a normal meal, my body doesn't need as many proteins. If I'm in ketosis, my body doesn't need as many proteins. If I fast, if I skip meals, my body becomes more efficient at using my protein. So rather than
if you're in a surplus versus a deficit, your body's going to metabolize it completely different.
Your body also has a really good ability to use, because, okay, protein can be used for many, many different things in the body. But the primary thing, the one thing that protein is needed for, is for the essential amino acids. And the essential amino acids are essential because your body can't make them.
Mm-hmm.
So that means if you don't get them, you die. Okay. Right. So your body at the if all things are falling apart or whatever, it will take your proteins and it will use them for the essential functions, which is for repair, for, you know, muscle repair and tissue repair and those type of things. It can also use protein for energy. It can use it for a lot of other different tasks. So if you're eating a shit ton of protein, you're just going to a lot of it's going to be turned into energy. You don't need all that protein, is my point. Yeah. And you're missing out on the benefits of some of these other macronutrients like carbohydrates and fats.
Well, I feel like especially that person, because the guy who's normally eating the 2 or 3 grams of fucking protein per pound of body weight is normally the meathead guy who's over consuming already because he's on the bulk, he's building, and so he's consuming all this food. It's like, dude, you're in a surplus if you really don't need it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Your body's got all kinds of extra stuff to utilize for energy and other stuff. So you just need the bare minimum of that part of protein. And I used to crack up when I'd see these competitors' diets because I'm like, you're in there busting your ass on these cardio machines and treadmills for an hour. Like, dude, why don't you just cut out about 1,000 calories of fucking chicken breast every day and not go do cardio? Because and you're going to see the same results. Yeah, just like...
Yeah. Because they think that the chicken breast couldn't possibly be contributing to fat gain.
Right. No.
That's why. Yeah. But I mean, do the math. Again, 150-pound female, 300 grams of protein. That's 1,200 calories from protein. That's not including any other fucking macronutrient.
Right.
So now she's got to figure out how she can add some carbs and maybe some fats. Yeah, how you
gonna squeeze the rest in?
I mean, that's just, to me, it's just absolutely insane. It's and silly. Frequent, super, super frequent feeding of protein has been shown to reduce the body's sensitivity to protein, and so you're going to be using less of it less efficiently. So, you know, fasting can increase protein synthesis as well and increase your body's utilization of it. So a lot of the stuff that we're, look, we were just talking about skipping meals. It's interesting because about 10 years ago or maybe more, it kind of became popular to say, stop eating past 6 p.m. Remember that? Uh-huh. Everybody's like, oh, if you want to lose weight, stop. What they don't realize was they were just advocating a type of fast, right? Like, I'm not going to eat past 5 or 6, and then my next meal is the next day at 8 or 9.
That's a good point.
Right. Yeah. But nobody was saying skip breakfast because it's been hammered into our heads.
You need that in order to operate.
That breakfast is the most important
meal of the day.
Who invented that freaking tagline?
Dairy companies, maybe?
Probably.
I don't know. Yeah. I've heard doctors say it, though. Sad.
That's stupid.
It's stupid. And part of that is because the studies done on people who eat breakfast or who take the time to eat breakfast are also people who tend to be healthy.
They're planners.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like people who take multivitamins show better
health.
They
don't just eat because they're more out of a vending machine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like, exactly. Whatever.
It's so true.
But you got to do it right. I mean, all these techniques that we talk about on the show, just for the listeners, you want to make sure, don't just jump into it, especially if you haven't done it before. We have a very inexpensive guide, mindpumpmedia.com, a fasting guide. It's actually one of our more popular guides.
Well, we have,
but we break it down and we list the ones.
There's six different types in there.
Yeah.
Six. So we list the ones that are good because there's more than that.
Lots of techniques. Yeah.
There's lots, but we list the ones that we think will benefit or most beneficial to people who
work out.
Too, yes.
On top of that. Yeah. Yes, and want to build muscle and also retain muscle.
Well, and burn body fat.
And I believe it has each one. We all have different ways that we utilize it. So each one of us kind of use it differently. And I think it's expressed in there, right?
You can get an example of what we're doing.
Yeah, each one of ours has there's an example of all of ours.
So. Yeah, yeah. So it's all in there. But like I said, you know, if you do it right, utilize it right, it's not for everybody. And there are individual variances. Yeah,
you'll find your own pathway, too, with it, right? So this is how you're able to sort of figure this out and, like, find out what really is appropriate for you and your patterns. And so
it trips me out, too, because you look back at some of the ancient wisdom of philosophers and doctors and of the past, you know, medicine men or whatever, and fasting has been a part of human culture.
Forever.
It's in ancient.
As long as religion's been around, it's been around.
It's in ancient. It's literally worked into some religions.
Almost all.
Yeah.
Almost
all have some sort of.
Except my issue with some of those is they don't add water in their fasts, which is,
oh really?
Is a problem. Yeah, like Ramadan, you can't have any water.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's just stupidity, then.
It's dumb.
Who knows?
We've evolved a little bit since.
Who knows? I mean, I know that they probably took something good and then, you know, made it become more of a spiritual thing, like abstaining. Like
abstaining from anything.
Yeah, right? Having to abstain. Yeah. But fasting in some form or another has been a part of human history forever. And even if we go back beyond that, it is a part of human evolution, because I'm pretty sure refrigerators and, you know,
well, the piece
there were not grocery stores.
The piece that I think is so important about it that we didn't touch on, that I think is just learning the appetite control and learning, learning that discipline of, you know, am I really that hungry or is this more mental? And I think
it's like a culture shock.
It is.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why I'm such a huge fan of it, is because when I teach clients this, I feel it's like mind blowing for them. Like, oh my God, I could totally do that. And it wasn't that hard. And once I got through this, and so then I think it helps them in the future when they have to restrain from a simple thing. Like they look at their watch and like, oh shit.
Like, oh, there's nothing like quality here for me to eat. What am I going to do?
Just wait till dinner.
Guess
now.
What?
Yeah.
You don't have to eat right now.
That's a great point, Justin.
It is. Because clients, how often has a client said this to you? Like, well, I'm going to be in these meetings all day from, you know, 1 o'clock all the way till.
And seven. All they have is bagels.
Yeah, exactly. And they tell you all they have is
donuts. And they just put it out there.
Then I go, well why don't we eat it? Why don't we do your fast that day? That'd be a perfect day to do your fast. And it's like, oh yeah, I didn't think about that. Like, yeah, why?
Wow. Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Oh no! It's
what a brilliant technique.
It's something, and that's what that's what I think it's done the most for the psychological part for my clients, is for them to see that you don't always got to be stuffing something in your face every 2 to 3 hours. That's such a myth. And you know, in fact, we could get huge benefits for you not going. And then in the past too, we used to say eat breakfast, you know, for your brain and all these things. That when we're talking about right now, that fasting actually creates more mental clarity and better cognitive function. Yeah. Like, dude,
and you may reach ketosis.
Yeah,
you know, all these things you could benefit from that will give you more mental clarity.
So all the excuses that people had in the past of why they couldn't do that—it's
just funny how brainwashed you become, because now it seems so obvious to me. Like, if I ate a massive meal and then I had to take a cognitive test, I would suck. Like, I'd be so tired. Like,
I know.
Oh,
you'd be all groggy and
it's crazy how I thought the opposite. Like, I better have a big breakfast because I got to go do this, you know, I got to go do this speech.
Oh, no. I don't remember. I remember 100%. Being a kid. Yeah. Mom making you a big old stack of pancakes and stuff before test day on Friday. Big old stack of pancakes and peanut butter and syrup all over.
You're like yawning your way through it. Like, yeah.
Here, son, have a little touch of diabetes before you do
this. Son of a bitch.
This should help you pass this.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. You can find us on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal. You can find Adam at Mind Pump Adam and Justin at Mind Pump Justin. And you can check out our programs, including the fasting guide, at mindpumpmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.